Well, the songs that we've been singing this morning and the prayers that we've been praying for the children as well, all gear, really, all lead up like an arrow to what we want to say in this message this morning about the love of Christ. For the Lord Jesus loves us more than we will ever know. And our Savior is far greater than we can ever imagine. And he wants us to live the best lives possible. And Colossians chapter 3 tells us about these things. We're looking at verses 5 to 17 this morning. And here the Apostle Paul tells us what we are to do so as to be like Jesus. And that's the heartbeat of every born-again person. They really want to be like their Savior. The Colossians had been misled by some false teachers. These false teachers had come into the church there, and they were offering them a get-holy-quick way of becoming like Jesus. And that get-holy-quick way was based on religious rules and human philosophy. And Paul dismisses all those. He says that if you go along to human rules and regulations and religious rules and regulations, they won't actually free you. They will capture you. And they've no power to really change you. So Paul says, dismiss all those. And that's what he says in chapter 2. And then, as we saw the other week, when he gets to chapter 3, he shows us the right way, the real way of being Christ-centered. And it is all basically realizing who we are in Christ, our status in Jesus. So in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, Paul has told us three things about Jesus. He's told us that Jesus has died, and that Jesus is risen, and that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And in those three things, which are like three events, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, if we see ourselves as sharing and participating in those events, then we see our status. And Paul sums it all up in verse 4 when he says, Christ is your life. And you can't get anything more than your life. What is your life? What does your life consist in? It's Christ. Christ is your life. Now, once we see ourselves in this way, once we see our status as in Christ, then and our relationship as in Christ, then we will become holy. And then in verses 5 to 17, having established our status, Paul then tells us our responsibility. Now, notice the logic of that. Verses 1 to 4, Paul says, this is what you are. This is who you are. In verses 5 to 17, Paul says, be what you are. Be who you are. This is what you are. Behave in that way. So having established our status, he now tells us our responsibility. And the responsibility that we've got, just because who we are, is to put off the bad stuff and put on the good stuff. So to put off the bad stuff, verse 5, put to death. Verse 8, get rid of. And verse 9, taken off. So we'll see what that means as we progress. Put off the bad stuff, but put on the good stuff. Verse 12, clothe yourselves. And verse 14, put on. Now, I just want to make a pastoral point about the order in which Paul says this. Because he said about our status, and now he speaks about our responsibility. We must never mix the two. So we have a responsibility because of our status. God has accepted us, and therefore we want to obey him. We do not obey him in order to be accepted by him. Religion mixes the two. Religion says, you live this way, and you do all these right things, and God will accept you. That's religion. And people will tie themselves up in knots with religious rules and regulations, trying to be accepted by God because of the things that they do. Grace puts it all on its head and says, no, while we were yet enemies and sinners, Christ died for us and God loves us. So we are accepted. We are accepted by the Lord. Therefore, we obey, not to be accepted, but because we are accepted. grace always wins. So that's the order of these things. And you'll see this ever so many times in Scripture, especially when you come across the Apostle Paul's epistles and you read them and you read them through, and you'll always see that he says, first of all, sometimes he'll spend whole chapters telling us who we are before he even begins to tell us what we are to do. Because grace comes first. It's from grace, from first to last. Okay, so having told us who we are, he now tells us our responsibility. And he tells us our responsibility in verses 5 to 17, with the whole imagery of clothing, or if you like, a wardrobe. So we could really entitle this like the Christian's fashion sense, or the Christian's dress code. There are some things that just do not fit the Christian. Maybe they did fit us when we were non-Christians, but now they don't. So we're to throw away the things that no longer fit us, to empty our wardrobe of them and not to wear them anymore. And we'll see what those things are. But on the other hand, we're to actually clothe ourselves with some nice new clothes that the Lord gives us. So we've got a whole wardrobe of new things to wear. And we're to put these on every day, for they look good on us and we look good in them. So 3 points this morning. First of all, what not to look good in. Second, what to look good in. And third, reasons for our clothes choice. Okay. What not to look good in. Verses 5 to 11 are some old clothes that no longer fit us. These are horrible things, actually. We're going to mention each one of them, but they're horrible things. These things are fashionable in hell. And the Christian looks ridiculous in them. Five dirty old clothes in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, which is sexual activity outside the special marriage relationship, adultery, pornography, casual sex, sex before marriage. Then that's old clothes. Don't wear them. And then Paul speaks about impurity, indecency, sexual sin. Paul says, don't put that on. Doesn't look good on the Christian. And then he says in verse 5, lust. Lust is a craving that is out of control. You can lust after anything and it become all-consuming. Doesn't look good on the Christian. Get rid of lust. He also says a fourth thing in verse 5, evil desires. Now, desire is not a bad thing. We can set our hearts on good things. We've got to desire God. Psalm 63 speaks about desiring the Lord. So desires can be good, but desires also can become so bad and overpowering, and they can become a craving after a sinful thing and a sinful image or a sinful relationship. So Paul says, that doesn't look good on you. Get rid of evil desires. And then the fifth thing he mentions there in verse 5 is greed, coveting what is not yours, consumed by what you haven't got, and you're not thankful for what you have got. And Paul says, that's horrible clothing. Don't wear greed. Five dirty old clothes there in verse 5 that we might once have worn, but now we're to throw away because they just don't look good on us at all. Throw them out. Get rid of them. But Paul tells us about some more clothes that don't look good on us. Verses 8 and 9 list six different items of clothing which are not good for the Christian. So verse 8, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, which is uncontrolled temper; rage, which is outbursts of anger, which you get everywhere these days, road rage, trolley rage, airport rage, rage everywhere. Doesn't look good on the Christian. Get rid of rage. Rage destroys someone. A third thing to get rid of there in verse 8, malice, which comes in the form of a lack of forgiveness and spiteful behavior, a desire to hurt someone, where you destroy someone with your attitude. Another thing there in verse 8 to get rid of is slander, which is destroying someone with your words. The word actually there is blasphemy, which is not so much here a blasphemy against God, but a blasphemy against another person, where you just tell untruths about them. That doesn't look good on the Christian. And then the final thing that doesn't look good on us in verse, or two more things, filthy language there in verse 8. Filthy language, plain, simple, unwholesome foul talk. That's not good on the Christian. And verse 9, do not lie to each other. Lying is not nice for anyone, let alone the Christian. So what Paul has told us here is of those things that we are to put to death. When he says in verse 5, put these to death, it's like weaken them in your life. They'll try and come towards you and self-dress you. But repel them. They're not part of our wardrobe. Get rid of them. Lay them off. Verse 8, rid yourselves of these things. Refuse to have them in your wardrobe. They have hell's logo on them. And you look ridiculous. We look ridiculous in them. Once, when we were non-Christians, we might have worn these things, not realizing we looked ridiculous. Because sometimes people wear things and realize they look ridiculous. I remember my dad telling me, you look ridiculous in that. I said, no, I don't. I don't like those old photos. There are some things that we're just not to wear. They look so silly upon us, and they don't fit us anymore. We've slimmed down, and they're too big for us. We've outgrown them, and we must never keep them thinking, oh, that will fit us again one day. They never will. They're the clothes from hell itself. And you don't want to read hell's catalogue and get stuff from there. So those things don't look good on us. That's what not to wear. Well, that leaves us naked. So what shall we wear? How to look good as a Christian. Verses 12 to 17, new clothes that look good on us and suit us. Now, these clothes were to get dressed in. Now, these are not morals or virtues that anyone can put on. What we're going to read here is a character description of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that suddenly we're going to take an interest in religion and morality and put on these acceptable things in public behavior, but rather we've seen Christ. We've turned our eyes upon Jesus and we've seen what his character is like. And we realize, wow, he looks good. And we want to wear what he's wearing. So what then is the fashion sense of Jesus? Well, there's a few things. Verse 12 lists them. Verse 12 says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Five things. Compassion. Clothe yourself. That looks good on you. Compassion. Compassion is feeling deeply with a heart full of pity. Like the prodigal son's father. When the prodigal son had run away from home and done all that he wanted to do, he returned home. And what did the prodigal son's father do? He had compassion on him, and he welcomed him. The older brother, the religious type, he folded his arms against his returning brother, and he insisted that his brother should get his just deserts. But the father was full of compassion. Now, religious people are full of those that say, look, they've made their bed, they've got to lie in it. They've done those things, they deserve everything that's coming to them. Let them have their just deserts. But the person full of grace says, no. And like the prodigal son's father, welcome back, we've missed you. A heart full of compassion, even if the person has got themselves into that own mess. Compassion. That looks brilliant on a Christian. That sparkles. Compassion. The second thing that looks good on the Christian in verse 12 is kindness. Kindness is goodness of a practical kind. It's the trait that makes you want to give to people and to bless people and think the best about people. That's kindness. And kindness looks good on a Christian. The third thing is humility. Humility is the opposite of arrogance and boasting and promoting yourself. Humility is having the right judgment of yourself, not thinking too much of yourself or too little of yourself, but thinking of yourself in God's estimation. Humility. A fourth thing, close item in verse 12, gentleness. Now, what's gentleness? Many people mistake weakness for gentleness, but weakness and gentleness are not the same thing. The word used here for gentleness apparently is used for a horse that has been tamed. A horse is a really powerful creature. It can do a lot of damage and can hurt a lot of people. But when it's tamed, all its power can be used to so much good. That's the word used for gentleness. You're powerful with strong opinions and deep convictions. They can ruin people if you don't control them. We are to express the force of our convictions and the strength of our Christianity in a controlled way. That is gentleness. And that looks so good on a person who really knows what they believe, and yet who expresses it in such a gentle way. There's another item in our Christian wardrobe, verse 12, patience. Patience is long-suffering with people, putting up with people like we put up with ourselves, because we put up with ourselves so much. Patience is putting up with others. And that leads to verse 13. In verse 13 we read, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Now this is a great shelf in our Christian wardrobe. This kind of clothing is really attractive. Forbearance and forgiveness. We can only put verse 13 on if we've got the five items of verse 12 on us. We can never wear verse 13 if we're not wearing verse 12. So once we are clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, then we can bear with each other, and then we can forgive each other. It's really quite amazing in verse 13 that the Apostle Paul has to write that. Bear with whatever grievances you may have against one another. You know what that means? It means that in that first century church, which I don't know what your picture is of the first century church, but my picture so often is that they did nothing wrong. Everything was so wonderful there. They had like sparkling halos around their heads, and they would have been a great church to belong to, that first century church, surely with an apostolic rule. Everything was so fresh, then surely they never did anything wrong, and their fellowship was always so wonderful. But Paul says here, look, I know that in your fellowship there in Colossae, you've got grievances against one another. And suddenly that the whole picture that I have of the first century church has exploded. And if they've got to forgive one another, that means that they've offended each other in some way. They've got grievances. That's quite amazing. That's a real eye-opener. It's not going to be any different today, is it? So in any family, there'll be people that you have to put up with. In any family gathering, there'll be people there that you'll think, I don't want to go to that event because great uncle whoever's going to be there. And last time I saw him, he had a fight with uncle whoever. And so what you've got is that there's going to be conflict there because those two uncles or those two aunties or those two brothers or those two cousins, they don't get on with each other. So I'm not going. But you've got that in any family event. What they should do is put up with each other. Bear with whatever grievance you have against one another. There is a difference between someone sinning against you and someone doing something that you just don't like and that aggravates you. And it's just a grievance. It's not wrong. Morally, it's not right or wrong. It's just something you don't like. You don't like that in their character. You don't like that in their behavior, but it's not right or wrong. It's a grievance you have. And the Apostle Paul says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And then we say, it's impossible. But Paul adds at the end of verse 13, forgive as the Lord forgave you, which makes it possible. Forgive as means forgive like, but it also means forgive because. And so many of our difficulties and problems in our families and in our relationships and church life are caused if we just will not bear with each other and forgive the grievances. This looks good on us, forbearance and forgiveness. That is a smashing set of clothes. Verse 14 speaks about another item of clothing, Verse 14, and over all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, love is the thing that finishes off the outfit. So you can have your outfit on and you think, I just need something to set that off. Just need something extra. It's just lacking something. I'll tell you what it is, love. You put on love and it binds it all together. You look good in love. What is love? Jesus redefined the whole meaning of love. When he came to earth and he died upon a cross, he says, this is love. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That is love. Self-giving. So love looks good on the Christian. And then verse 15 speaks about peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful, the peace of Christ. What is this kind of peace? Well, so many take this as the kind of inner tranquility and calmness. You know, keep calm, breathe, carry on. It's not that kind of peace that Paul is talking about. It's not the inner peace and tranquility that we can have, but that's not what he's talking about. The peace he's talking about here is the peace of relationships. We know that because he goes on in verse 15 to speak about members of one body who were called to peace. So the peace that Jesus had was reconciling people. He reconciled people to God and he reconciled people with each other. So when it says, really carefully watch the words in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What is the rule of peace? It is not, well, I'm at peace about this. It's great to have that, nothing wrong with that, but that's not this peace. The peace is, what makes for peace in this relationship? That is the rule of peace. We're called to live together as one body. And if we're thinking about what makes me peaceful in that relationship, then we're not thinking so much about the other person. But the rule of peace is, how can we so reconcile and how can we get on and how can we live together in such a way that is harmonious and peaceful? That's the rule of peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And then the final thing here in verse 15. And be thankful. And be thankful. For thankfulness is a great item of clothing. Okay, we've got 10 items of clothes there that look good on the Christian. I put them into a Wordle and they come out like this. Compassion, gentleness, thankfulness, love, forbearance, humility, peace, patience, forgiveness, and kindness. You know, if I'd thought about it, and if I was a bit more creative, and if I was planned a little bit more ahead, and if I had the money to do it as well, I'd get that printed on a T-shirt for each one of us. Oh, great T-shirt, that would be. This looks good on us. And we're to clothe ourselves in these things. These are nice clothes. These are Christ-like clothes. These are head-turning clothes. These show off our Christian shape nicely. We don't outgrow these. These have Christ's logo on them. Where do we find these things? Well, we find them in our fashion catalogue. And where's that? Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing songs, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. The word of Christ. That's our fashion catalogue. What does the word say we're to wear? And the word says we are to wear these things. So be often just browsing through your Christian fashion catalogue. It's there, the scriptures. And how are we to wear these clothes? Verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So all in the name of Jesus and all in thanksgiving. These things look good on us. Okay, well, we've seen what we're not to wear and we've seen what we are yet, what we must wear. You know, we've got time now just to think about the reasons for our fashion sense. The reasons why we look good in the new clothes and not in the old clothes. There are reasons, and here are those reasons. Reason number one, don't wear the old clothes because the old clothes make us idolaters. And we don't want to be idolaters. Look at verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Idolatry. An idolater is someone who takes a good thing and makes it an ultimate thing. Tim Keller, in one of his books, has a whole chapter about this. You take a good thing and you make it an ultimate thing. And when you turn a good thing into an ultimate thing, it becomes an idol and you become an idolater. So, money. Money's not bad. You can't get by without it. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not money. So, you want money. But if you become greedy for money, and if you love money, you're taking a good thing and making it an ultimate thing, you become an idolater. Take love. Nothing wrong with love. But if love is the goal of your life, if the goal of your life is to find a lover, then it's become idolatry. Take wanting to be good at something or to do your best at something. That's not bad. That's a good desire to have. But when it's your goal in life, it will destroy you because an idol always breaks your heart. So greed, if we wear greed, it will make us bow down and worship a God other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to be idolaters. So take off the old clothes. A second reason why we shouldn't wear the old clothes is because they bring the wrath of God. Verse 6. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is a deadly, serious subject. The wrath of God is his determination to destroy all that hurts and harms his creation. And the things that are mentioned in verse 5, each one of those things will harm you and will harm another person and will destroy God's good creation. And each one of those things of verse 5 brings God's wrath. If you're wearing those things, beware, you'll be under the wrath of God. And you really don't want that. Really. A third reason why we shouldn't wear the old clothes but put on the new clothes is because we're new people. We're new people. Sometimes you might think, I need a new start. Now, take Christian things aside now and just you think, I'm just pretty fed up with what I am and how I'm looking. I'm going to get a new start. See, I'm getting a new wardrobe because I'm a new person and I want new things to wear. It's exactly the same when you become a Christian. You become a brand new person and you get a whole new set of attitudes and clothes. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. So Christians have had a previous life. Nothing to do with incarnation or a previous existence, this. But there was a life you once lived. In the days you weren't a believer, then you used to wear these things. And as we've said, we didn't realize how ridiculous we looked in them. But we used to wear them. So we used to, but now something's happened. And what's happened is in verse 9 or verse 8. But now you must rid yourselves of all those things. Verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. So we've become new people. So when you get a new set of clothes, throw out the old set of clothes. And sometimes we have to do that because the wardrobes aren't big enough or we haven't got enough hangers, unless you're my wonderful sister who just buys a new wardrobe. Though there are some things that come into our life you think, I haven't got room for this. So you've got to get rid of other things to make room for the new things. And that's what Paul is telling us to do here. Get rid of those other things, because if you're wearing those other things, then you can't put the Christian things on top. It will make you look so bulky. I mean, it wouldn't look good on you. So it's not just a case of dressing Christian things over the top of these things from hell. It's actually throwing out your hellish wardrobe and getting a heavenly wardrobe, because they look good on you. And verse 10, says that you've put on the new self, and the new self is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now, it was knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that made Adam and Eve fall. And that's where the hellish clothes came in. Nothing to do with fig leaves. But when those hellish clothes came in, the knowledge of God went out. So what Paul says is that when you become a Christian, you are being renewed in knowledge. The very thing that made us fall in the first place is the thing now we are being renewed in, but it's the right kind of knowledge. It's the knowledge of God. And we're being renewed. God is doing this for us. So the bad things destroy us. The new things renew us. So there's a third reason why we shouldn't wear the bad things, but put on the new things. Three more reasons. Fourth reason why we should get rid of the bad clothes and put on the good clothes is because the good clothes keep us in fellowship with each other. They keep us in fellowship with each other. We've seen that the Apostle Paul has been speaking about fellowship in this passage. For example, in verse 15, we noticed that we are called to peace, to live together as one body. And we see also in verse 11 that Paul says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Now those old clothes, each one of them, they made for division and hatred and separation. But each one of the new clothes, they make for reconciliation and harmony. The old clothes were a statement of rebellion against heaven. The new clothes are the dress code for heaven's party, which begins on earth. So these new clothes, they maintain fellowship. Fifth reason why we should put on these new clothes is because we're God's chosen people. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with those five items. It's because of who we are. And because of who we are, then we should be who we are. There's a uniqueness about the Christian. There are clothes appropriate to us. And what we wear shows who we are. You are God's chosen person. You are holy. You are dearly loved. What looks good on you? Greed? No. Sexual immorality? No. Hatred? No. What looks good on you? Compassion and kindness and humility and patience. They all look good on you. And the final reason why we should get rid of the old clothes and put on the new clothes, the sixth reason, is because these clothes show off Christ. Look at verse 11, the end of verse 11. Christ is all and is in all. That really is a statement that backs up what Paul said in chapter 1, verse 18, that in everything, Christ should have the supremacy. Christ is all and in all. We've seen that Colossians is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him. And we are to see ourselves in Christ. He is our life, remember? And we are in him. So, have this thought. If we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, if he is our life, then when we are dressing ourselves, we're dressing Christ. Dare we put clothes from hell on Christ? He looks so good in his heavenly garments. And if we put on those heavenly garments, if we put on the fashion statement of heaven, then we are showing off Christ. We look good in him. So, with apologies to Brian Adams, the only thing I want, the only thing I need, the only thing I choose, the only thing that looks good on me is Christ. So as disciples of Jesus, here is our dress code for the front line and behind the front line. Put off the stuff that makes you look like a devil from hell. And clothe yourself with the items that make you look like Jesus, the man from heaven. And you don't have to wait for the order. It's there. It's instant delivery. It's right in your lap now. Wear these clothes and glorify Jesus. Amen. Well, let's sing together a song which helps us to bring together some of the thoughts from this morning. We want to be like our Savior. Jesus, my King, my wonderful Savior, all of my life is given to thee. We'll stand to sing.